Let's get a beat on where things stand right now in Michigan. To everyone's massive relief, our state has experienced a decrease in COVID infection rates compared with April and May, but the numbers have been inching up a bit over the past few days. We sometimes turn to Dr. Howard Markel for perspective on this moment in epidemiology. He's professor of the history of medicine and director of the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan. Howard Markel, fantastic to hear your voice again.
It's nice to hear yours, too.
Your research on epidemics has covered many kinds of catastrophe in global health. We haven't spoken in a while, and I wanted to ask you your take on the global pace of infections and deaths. Right now, Brazil and the U.S. are continuing to lead the pack. What do you observe happening?
Well, to begin, the critical word in all this is novel. Coronavirus. It is a virus that we have never seen before. It's a newly emerging infectious disease. It has mutated or changed in some ways to become more infectious to other people. And it also has certain people it likes to attack and harm. But what's really incredible to me is that the metaphor of a wave, which I think is a false metaphor to begin with, but was used during the 1918 flu pandemic, doesn't really hold all that much for coronavirus 19. In fact, it's more like a forest fire that's spreading here and there in a very unpredictable manner. I think we've done a great job in Michigan, and I my hat's off to Governor Whitmer and her staff, that the curve has been flattened. But what we have to remember, not just in Michigan, but elsewhere in the United States, is that all that does, all that social distancing does, and as you know, I'm a big proponent of it, mm-hmm. it's a first phase because you're hiding from the virus. You're not interacting with the virus. But once we come out of hiding, as we are in many states across the United States, and not wearing face masks or not washing our hands or not social distancing at the grocery store or wherever, we increase our odds of meeting that microbe. It's circulating, it's out there. And so, let's say there's been about 2 million cases in the United States. Let's multiply that times 25. Say there have been 50 million cases of COVID in the United States. That means there's still 300 million people who are susceptible to it. Mm-hmm. So that's why the wave is not a good metaphor. It's just out there and it's waiting to infect us.
I hope I'm not getting too micro, but I couldn't help but notice the caseload over the weekend. On Sunday, three more people died in Michigan. There were 146 new confirmed cases. Saturday, 255 new confirmed cases and 20 deaths. 211 cases confirmed on Friday. Generally, the new confirmed cases have been hanging out in the low three digits for about a week. Do you see those numbers as significant?
Well, I do because they're larger than what they were, and they're about 14 days out from when the social distancing measures were lifted somewhat. So the incubation period is about 10 to 14 days, and so we should expect more cases as we do less to hide from the virus. We're certainly seeing that elsewhere. And I do worry about places like Wayne County, where there's been incredible health disparities that this pandemic has unveiled our health disparities among minorities and the poor in a way that you cannot ignore it. And so I worry that those numbers will go up. I do.
There are signs that Michigan schools and businesses will try to stay partly open this fall, but our understanding of COVID-19 as a long-haul proposition is growing. What has that kind of long-term change meant to the generations who've gone through similar things? My husband keeps saying he believes our kids will either only interact online in the future or only in person. Because of their
yeah.
quarantine experience, what do you see psychologically in prior pandemics?
Well, we've never had anything quite like this or quite this long. So this is really the grandest experiment in quarantine, isolation, and social distancing ever performed. Now, the good news is that it's working, that there's been a couple of studies in Nature and in Science that have demonstrated, hundreds of millions of lives have been preserved because of the social distancing measures, but to not think that they have a psychological effect on all of us in different ways would be folly. Merely staying inside and not interacting with other people has its own set of psychological whammies that it pulls on you. But for the young who didn't get to go to the prom or their graduation ceremony, are there important moments in their lives? People who can't have funerals for their loved ones. These are things that will keep psychologists busy for quite some time. I will say this, my students, long before COVID, prefer to interact on email, typically at 3 a.m, by the way, until I told them to stop. This has been a trend, you know, using email, text, and so on to communicate long before COVID, but I think it will exacerbate it. And I particularly worry as a teacher, you know, University of Michigan President Schlissel has just announced that we will be going to open and have a public health informed semester. I worry about the closeness of students, particularly in resident dormitories, as well as fraternities and sororities. I worry about the risk of kids wanting just to have parties because that's what college kids do. And then they get close and that's a problem. And I also worry about the teaching experience because I've taught in person for years and I've taught online for only a matter of a few months. And it's not bad as a substitute, but it's not the real thing. So that may affect our students for years to come because of the way they were taught, you know, the great lessons that we learn when we're in college.
If a second wave does hit Michigan, or maybe I should say when, do you see leaders, including institution leaders and academia, and maybe even the governor, do you think they will have the political capital to shut it all down again?
I sincerely hope so. This will save lives, and we have to do this, and probably we're going to be doing it in waves of on off for some time to come until we have the ultimate silver bullet, which is a vaccine. And then, by the way, it'll be incumbent upon all of us to do the right thing and get vaccinated so that we develop herd immunity. But that hasn't happened yet, and it may be some time. It's a pretty tough virus to crack. It's an RNA virus, and we're not, you know, it may take us a while to develop a vaccine. But I think we do have to get used to it. And I would not have said this several months ago because I was hoping the warm weather would make it go away. You know, I had my own magical thinking. I think this is going to be with us for some time, and we should expect periods where the brakes are on and the brakes are off, depending on what the epidemiological situation is in our home state. I think Governor Whitmer's done a terrific job. I think if her opponents will do the right thing by their constituents, political capital will not be the issue. What we need to do is protect Michiganders from getting sick and potentially dying.
You know, speaking of the learning that's going on, Howard, do you feel like you've learned anything in recent weeks about our relative risk from viruses on surfaces versus our risk of airborne COVID?
Well, the surfaces are not nearly as big a risk as we may have worried about. That doesn't mean you shouldn't clean off things, like if you go to the grocery store and make sure the basket's wiped off, or if you're in an elevator, you should use your knuckles or something else to press the buttons. That's the biggest risk are respiratory droplets, and that's why I worry about the numbers going up about 14 days after a lot of the protesting. Particularly in memory of George Floyd, mm-hmm. but the other type of protests as well. Going to a political rally during a pandemic is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. There was some self-flagellating in the media and social media right now that Americans have decided the pandemic is over. They're done with it. And that many of us have gone right back to resuming life as we wish it were, rather than what's medically sound. Do you think it's possible for us to keep COVID-19 and public health over our perceived definitions of personal liberty or freedom or just what we can handle?
Yeah, that's the challenge. I spent all weekend writing about that, and that is the challenge. But here's the truth. It ain't over yet. And anyone who tells you it is, or anyone who revs you up because of individual liberties, is not thinking of your long-term interest and your long-term health. The problem with a disease that is infectious is that it's not just you who gets it. You can communicate and infect others. And some of those people may get really sick and die. So we have to stick together as a community. And we have to remember that in times of contagious crisis, these temporary infringements on our right to get a haircut or go to the grocery store are not as important as the overall health of our community. That's the way you have to think about it. We're all in it. We've got to help each other. We've got to keep these cases down. And we should come to the reality that until we have a vaccine, I sincerely hope I'm wrong. I sincerely hope I'm on your show a month from now or 5 months from now and say, gosh, was I wrong? The way it looks like right now is that it's not going to go away for some time to come, and we're going to have peaks and valleys.
Dr. Howard Markel is director of the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan. Howard, you take care of yourself.
You too, April.